FBI says the informant bought 1,000 pounds of what novice thought was fertilizer that could be used to make explosives and helped assemble a device in a warehouse that he thought would be a working bomb. He drove it all in a van to the bank and repeatedly dialed a cell phone number, which he thought would set it off.
The presidential election goes comedy tonight, a tradition. The Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner is set for tonight at the Waldorf Astoria. It's been a required stop for politicians since the end of World War II. President Obama and Mitt Romney will be expected to trade one-liners. This is NBC News Radio. Despite calls for getting out of Afghanistan quicker, NATO says it will stick with the drawdown plan that keeps troops in place until 2014. A group of Texas teenage cheerleaders hope to hear from a judge today if they'll be allowed to continue to display Bible verses and banners at their high school football games. They sued the school district, which told them to stop. Seven Mexican federal officials have been arrested for alleged links to a major drug cartel. George McGovern's daughter says his condition is getting worse and it's likely the end is near. He went into hospice earlier this week. McGovern is 90. Debbie Reynolds is home and recovering from a bad reaction to some medication. She was hospitalized briefly. She is 80. Game 4 between the Tigers and the Yankees was rained out last night. It will be held tonight in San Francisco. The Cardinals have taken a 2-1 lead in Game 3 of the National League Series. They'll play again tonight as well. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11/10/12. Staples. That was easy.
The Warner Brothers shield might as well have a big S on it. The movie and TV house has won a round in court. A Los Angeles judge says Warner can keep the rights to the Man of Steel, Superman. The family of Superman co-creator Joe Shuster tried and has now failed to reclaim half the rights. The Superman brand has made more than $500 million for Warner. Last week, Best Buy announced it's going to match all rivals' advertised prices, including those of internet retailers. This week, Target matched Best Buy's match offer, but retail experts tell the Wall Street Journal these aggressive attempts to combat lost business may backfire. That's because people have to do a lot to get the price matches, such as presenting evidence of internet prices and waiting for harried store employees to change them at the checkout counter with impatient fellow shoppers waiting behind. Those experts think many people may just opt to go with the internet. Stock futures mixing it. S&P futures down a half point. NASDAQ futures down 2. Dow futures up 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat. The keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move 1 ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You can win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
We believe that even when your team is apart, it should be easy to be together. That when you can meet face to face, you're more likely to see eye to eye. That when everyone is on the same screen, it's a lot easier to be on the same page. Welcome to GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. With one click, launch or join a meeting from anywhere. It's that easy. visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45 for a free 45-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. Switching to GEICO, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss, no irate, vengeful, significant others.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is, what is it? It is Thursday. It is Thursday, October 18th, 2012. It's actually been one of those days already. Up a little later than normally was last night, so past my bedtime, and I'm feeling it today. That's okay. I got plenty of energy for you, I promise, as we work our way through another First Shift Thursday program. One of the benefits of Thursdays for me is, with the exception of a single guest, we are regular guests all morning long. Of course, this is Labor Day Thursday, and we're going to go through the lineup here in just a second, but, I want to, as always, welcome you all back. I appreciate especially those of you that show up early. I do appreciate that. I know this time of year our signal's not nearly as strong as we'd like it to be. So those of you that tough out the AM radio signal this early, it is appreciated. Don't forget, we also are available at iHeartRadio, and you can also access the show, which we stream live right at thetonyshow.org. All you have to do is click on the Listen Live button, and you don't need to worry about what time of day it is. We come through strong and long and clear and all that good stuff. So anyway, welcome to this Thursday morning show. Susan Demas will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. Susan, of course, a journalist with Mears News Service and MLive.com. We're going to take a look back a day or so at the debates, and we're also going to take a look at Proposal 2, which we'll be spending a great deal of time on today, which should come as no surprise to you. Chris Rodriguez joins us. Chris is the Director of Governmental Affairs and Media Relations at MPAS, and I'll tell you all about MPAS a little bit later on. But what we're going to be talking about is really a form of voter integrity that we probably, the majority of us, don't think about. Access to the polls for those that are disabled, especially those that are in some kind of assisted way, a wheelchair, walkers, crutches. Do we have equal access to the polls? The answer to that question is definitively no, and that is a violation of federal law. We'll talk about that. Again, it is Labor Day Thursday. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, will be our guest in studio. We look forward to visiting with him. And then Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, also in studio with us a little bit later on in today's program. So we've got a full show for you as we work our way through another week here on First Shift. And man, is time flying by. 19 days to Election Day. With that said, let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is grassroots. And certainly grassroots campaign, grassroots activists. Grassroots is something that is very organic. It grows from the ground up. Obviously, that's where it gets its name. I sometimes believe that the best things that happen in democracy are grassroots efforts. Oftentimes that is true. Some of the best things that we have experienced and our lives politically came from the grassroots. I think automatically, I think of my friends at the Progressive Democrats of America, which has become a national powerhouse. And they've done that, by the way, through a grassroots effort. It doesn't have to be politics. Sometimes it's change in our own communities. Let's say you want to get a neighborhood watch group going. That is a grassroots effort. What if you want to start a PTA in your school? That is a grassroots effort. It's something that begins on the ground and works its way up. Like anything else that you plant, whether it's an idea, whether it's a activism, whether it's a tree for that matter, it takes care and feeding in order for it to grow. So in our grassroots world, we have to make sure that we appeal to enough people that we can attract them to a cause, that we make sure that we're providing them their sustenance. For us, in the political world, that means issues that people care about, that they're willing to invest in, and they're willing to invest doesn't always mean dollars, by the way. It often, more often, means time, but not only are they willing to invest in it, they're willing to sustain it. Yes, being a part of a grassroots effort can be quite, and usually is, quite fulfilling. And you stop and you look at the reality of what we've accomplished in this country. Oftentimes, more often than not, it wasn't because some organization decided to wave a magic wand and fund something. Nope, the best stuff has come from just people like you and I who get up every day with a single focus of changing the world. And when we do that, and we do it in a grassroots way, well, it is awfully empowering. So, anyway, today's first word is grassroots.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
All right, welcome back. I say good morning to dearest Anthony. Oh, my, oh, my. Hey, we should be having one conversation this morning, but we're going to be having a very different conversation this morning. As the Detroit Tigers were, well, I guess technically rained out, but it didn't rain until long after they called that game.
Yeah, they probably could have got in a good 7 or 8 innings before they would have got called.
Well, and it probably wouldn't have got called. And I understand, although we live in Dearborn Heights, it did start to rain, as you know, quite hard. It didn't start to rain in Detroit till well after 10 o'clock. And then it was just light rain until about 11:30. So the game probably could have got in.
Yeah, I'm still confused on why they decided to call it. Did you hear all the conspiracies about how
New York
is trying to help out the Yankees?
Yeah, explain to me how that works. I briefly heard it, but what's the theory behind it?
They're saying that they want to give the Yankees a fair shot, so the rain would have just Game two in New York was raining, and they let Verlander pitch all the way through it, and there was no sign of stopping it. So they're saying, you know, because the Yankees ace is on the mound and all this and that.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Well, those are conspiracy theories, and there's no way that's what happened. You and I both saw the weather map. It looked like Detroit was going to get socked with a huge storm. I mean, that's what we saw on radar. It just moved very slowly, that's all.
Yeah, on my way home last night, it was pouring really hard.
Yeah, so we don't want to talk about last night, right?
No, we don't need to talk about last night.
All right. Anthony's on a flag football team, and it didn't go well. That's all we're going to say. Well, anyway, the Tigers are going to play at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So if you had tickets to today's game, you can't use them. If you had tickets to yesterday's game, you can use them. I know it's a little confusing. I don't know what they're doing with today. Did they move today's game to tomorrow, or I'm not quite sure.
I'll look that up during the break.
Okay. So I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work. But if you have tickets for last night's game, you can go to today's game with those tickets. That game starts at 4 o'clock, which the good news for me is I get to watch it. But if they do have to play again tomorrow or the next game, which I would think would be tomorrow in Detroit, then they would be playing again if needed on Saturday in New York.
So they lose the travel day?
I would think they would. I don't know how you stay on a schedule. Yeah, I don't. I mean, at some point you got to stay on your schedule. So,
but I will take the travel day because, like I said, we could use the rest between series because we don't want to get those 6 days off in a row.
No, we don't. And let's be honest about it. A travel day to New York, it's an hour flight, Anthony. It's not like, you know, you're traveling to the West Coast. You're only going to New York. So how big a travel day is it? It's not like you have to, like everybody else, stand in line and they're taking a commercial flight and then they got to wait for their luggage. You know, none of that happens. So how tough a travel day is it to go from Detroit to New York? I would think that they're probably on a charter plane anyway. I'm pretty sure that's true. I do believe the Tigers and the Red Wings share that plane, right?
That would be cool. I don't know.
No, I think they do. I'm pretty sure that they do. So anyway, that game didn't happen last night. Hopefully, there's still a call for rain this afternoon, as I'm sure Anthony will tell us in the weather forecast coming up. But it is what it is, and we'll get over it very quickly before we have to get to the break. The National Hockey League may be making an announcement today, but one of the things they did do yesterday, the owners anyway, is they released the details of what they've offered the players to the media. So now they're negotiating in public, and I don't know that that's the smartest decision, but it's what they did.
Yeah, today should be the day, though. Let's keep our fingers crossed because I'm ready for your hockey.
Well, what we're anticipating happening is that they will either say that they've got an agreement or they've got enough of a framework in place that they are going to go ahead and call the season a go and get started while they work out the remaining details, which I understand are not a big deal at this point. All right, let's take a very quick break here. Go Tigers. We'll be back on the other side. Good morning to you once again on this Thursday, October 18th. I am Tony Trupiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks!
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your early morning drive, let's head over to 96 eastbound just after the Davidson, where we picked up another accident that's blocking your right shoulder. Still watching that jackknife tractor trailer that's blocking one lane on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Gottfredson. And the Southwood Freeway northbound, the ramps to 94 east and west are closed until 9 p.m. You can use Oakwood or Pelham. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers
workers free to achieve the American dream.
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. So what do you want to talk about today? One of those days. You know, you get to this point in a campaign and you run the risk, of course, of sounding terribly repetitive. But it's kind of what's going on, so you just, you deal with it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm not naive to think that, you know, everybody listens from the time we sign on to the time we sign off, because I know that's not true. My ego's not quite that large. But it gets very frustrating because you want to see movement. You want to see movement in the polls. You want to see new issues. And this is not my first election cycle, so there's nothing unusual about this one, including the candidates going helter-skelter yesterday, begging for last-minute donations. How many of you got those emails? Of course, you all did. You know, you belong to these opt-in lists, and opt-in is the key phrase there. And then you get emails, you know, on the day of the filing. You know, today's my last day to raise money, and this one counts. Well, they all count. It just gets a little hinky, if you will. Anyway, we're going to listen to a little audio. Channel 4, WDIV, breaks down Proposal 2. I've not heard this yet, so I'm kind of interested to hear how they position this, because I do think that there is somewhat of a media bias. Now, you got to understand that even the media is a union. You know, they're all in unions, and they all have managers that are not in unions. So you sometimes wonder how they spin this stuff. Let's take a listen, and then we will decide on the other side if it's worthy, if it passes the First Shift smell test. Here we go.
Election Day, Michigan's very thick ballot. We'll have a lot of issues for you to decide, including the six proposals. Yesterday, we talked about Proposal 1. Today, we move on to Proposal 2. This deals with amending the state constitution to enshrine the right of employees to collective bargaining in Michigan. Now, our latest poll, 43% of likely voters say they're going to support this proposal. 42% are against it. So, of course, that means these 14% who are undecided are going to decide the matter. To try and sort out what's at stake, let's turn to business editor Rob Maloney. Rob, the governor told me that this is the most important one on the ballot to him.
It is, and also it's the most controversial to many in the state of Michigan, particularly business people, and it is because it is an amendment to the Constitution. The opponents say it takes a chainsaw to the Michigan Constitution in that in the federal law we already have collective bargaining rights. So what's at stake here? Well, the unions say they're under siege and they're fighting back.
Instead of just worrying about our kids' grades, we'll have to pray for their safety.
Proposal 2 is the one with the most controversial ads.
We negotiate for gear we need.
The one each side says, don't listen to. So let's just let Proposal 2 speak for itself. This proposal would grant public and private employees the constitutional right to organize and bargain collectively through labor unions. It would also invalidate existing or future state or local laws that limit the ability to join unions and bargain collectively and to negotiate and enforce collective bargaining agreements, including employees' financial support of their labor unions. Laws may be enacted to prohibit public employees from striking. There are a couple more lines, but that's the heart of it. Michael Hendricks of Protect Working Families and the star of the commercial we just saw says it's a simple question of preserving union rights.
Collective bargaining is especially important for firefighters because our gear is our lifeline. We need to be able to negotiate for the right gear to do our jobs effectively and for us to be safe.
Yet there is a sizable opposition proclaiming that the question is union overreach. Stu Sandler is from Citizens Protecting Our Constitution.
This will cause $1.6 billion in increased costs for taxpayers. This will abrogate in part or in whole 170 laws, according to the Attorney General's office.
Now, Sandler goes on to say that this is a situation that would prevent businesses from coming into the state of Michigan in years to come for fear of unions going to them and them having to spend those extra dollars. In the meantime, the unions are saying, look, the right to work laws that are moving into other states around Michigan will not make it here in Michigan, and this is their way to prevent it from happening. Live in Livonia, Rod Maloney, Local 4.
All right. Well, you know, first of all, they did a decent job of presenting that proposal. Of course, the anti-Prop 2 people get it entirely wrong. It wouldn't cost $1.6 billion at all. It wouldn't cost a dime to institute Proposal 2. So that's myth number one. Myth number two is a big one for me, that, you know, there, that businesses wouldn't come here because they would fear union representation. Well, they already have union representation. Myth number three, no one is forced to join a union. If you do not want to be in a union, you can opt out any time you want. What don't people understand about that? Legally, you can't be forced to join a union. Anybody not get that? Because it's really not that complicated. So they did a decent job. I'll give them that. They did a decent job of reporting on Prop 2. And hold on to that audio because I'm sure we're going to use it later on in the day today as well. So I'm not unhappy with the way they positioned that, and I'm glad they just let it speak for itself. But this idea that it somehow costs us $1,600,000,000 is ridiculous. Of course, it doesn't affect our children's safety at all. And they read it verbatim, the language verbatim. It just enshrines in the Constitution the right to collective bargain. That's all it does. It's that simple. So if you can somehow interpret that in a way that I don't get, and I probably studied this issue more than some of the labor leaders I've had on this show, I would be surprised. I would be surprised. There's nothing in that legislation that says that. And then, you know, the Attorney General's office, which is quite partisan, by the way. The Attorney General's office is very Republican, very partisan. We can't really believe what they say. I hate to say that because they're basically the police force of the state. But it doesn't matter. Being the chief law enforcement officer of the state doesn't mean that you can't or don't lie or misrepresent the truth, if you want me to be a little more nuanced about it. Not that nuance is necessarily my forte, but had they had kept their hands off collective bargaining to begin with, had they had not messed with teacher tenure, had they had not banned, although the legal challenge gave them the right back to collect dues, if people don't want a union, they get rid of it. They can democratically get into one. They can democratically get out of one. Again, anybody not get that? Anybody not understand that? I really don't get where the anti Prop 2 people come in. I don't understand. You know, this idea that we're messing with the Constitution. Well, we've changed it 27 times in the last 32 years, or 33 years, or is it 33 times in the last 27 years? One or the other, but yeah, let's not go there. All right, we'll come back. Feel free to join me, by the way. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick break. We'll come back and continue First Shift right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Still watching those two problems on your early morning commute? That accident that has your right lane blocked on 96 eastbound just after the Davidson, and that jackknife tractor trailer that's blocking one lane. Traffic is also getting by in one lane. That's on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Godfredson. And the Southfield Freeway northbound, the ramps to 94 east and west are closed until 9 p.m. tonight. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. And it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
I'm all for Proposal 2 because I feel like collective bargaining is very important to the freedoms of the people of Michigan. I've been in the union now 35 years, and it's helped protect our jobs. With Proposition 2, it helps maintain that, and the more union members there are in other companies, the better the contracts are going to be. I am all for Proposal 2. My name is James R. Message. I work at Kroger's in Warren, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Let us now assess the state of the free press in this land of, well, of press freedom. The assessment? Pathetic. Not because of some government clampdown, but because of increasing press pusillanimity. The latest decline in hard-nosed investigative reporting is something called, quote, approval. It began with PR flacks for public officials and political candidates, demanding that reporters agree as a price of being granted an interview to submit any quotes they intend to use from the interview to the interviewee's staff for approval. Thus, when Mr. Big blurts out something shocking, stupid, or actually newsworthy, Mr. Big's staff of bowdlerizers can tidy it up or even erase it. Zzzt, it's gone, as though it was never uttered. It's not surprising that today's media-sensitive political figures, including Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, would demand this extraordinary editorial control over what comes out of their own mouths. But it's utterly despicable that media bosses and reporters have so gutlessly caved in to the demand. It reduces reporters from hard-nosed diggers to brown-nosed beggars, and it makes a mockery of our democracy's need for a free press. Yet many of America's major publications have meekly surrendered their reporters' freedom to this restraint. And now, corporate executives have realized that, hey, we can emasculate the press, too. Wall Street barons, Silicon Valley hotshots, and even the bosses of media conglomerates are demanding and getting, quote, approval for stories about their operations. This is Jim Hightower saying, the media columnist for the New York Times admits that he's also succumbed to these demands. If it's a quote I feel I absolutely need, he recently wrote, I start negotiating. Never mind that it's his independence and journalistic integrity he's bargaining away.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. I need somebody in the control room to look up the name of names of Mitt Romney's children, besides Tag. I mean, is it some kind of cruel joke? I don't know if these are nicknames. I don't know what his kids' names are. I know Tag. I think Tag is the oldest. And we're going to listen to some audio in just a second. He did a radio interview in Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday. Was just very rude and disrespectful. So he's a chip off the old block. Dad's quite rude and disrespectful. By the way, it did not go unnoticed by both the public and the media that Mitt Romney kind of stalked President Obama at the debate on Tuesday evening. A couple times, you know, getting up off his chair and literally, you know, coming up behind him and, you know, just overly aggressive. Wow, what a freak. What a freak. But before we do that, for those of you that have not heard, former Senator George McGovern and presidential candidate is in hospice care, and the family is now reporting that he's no longer responsive. So, Senator McGovern is, I would think, within a day or so of most likely passing on. He will be remembered, I think, for the most part, kindly by history. Certainly was a game changer, no question about that. Got to love game changers. But our thoughts and prayers go out to the McGovern family as they're dealing with what is an assured loss of their beloved patriarch. And that's, of course, a very, very sad thing. All right, Tag Romney. Tag Romney was on a radio station in Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday. We don't have the name of the station, but we do know it was in Charlotte. And this is what he had to say when asked about the debate.
Well, what an honor. It really is. Tag Romney is in the house. He's, of course, the son of Governor Mitt Romney. And how appropriate, after a debate, he's in town. I guess knocking on some doors and also talking to some folks. And, Tag, what a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for taking time for us today and coming down.
Bill, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be here with you.
Okay, I'm going to ask something I know a lot of people want to know, or at least I do. What is it like for you to hear the President of the United States call your dad a liar? How do you react to that?
Well, jump out of your seat and you want to rush down the debate stage and take a swing at him, but you know you can't do that because, first, because there's a lot of Secret Service between you and him, but also because this is the nature of the process, that you know they're going to try to do everything they can do to try to make my dad into someone he's not. We signed up for it. We got to kind of sit there and take our punches, and then send him right back the other way.
He wants to take a swing at him. All right, before I comment on that, it's Tag, Matt, Josh, and Ben. I thought there were five boys, but there are only four. Okay, I'll go. Oh, Craig. So Tag is, I'm guessing Tag's his real name. Joe, you want to join me a second? Is Tag his real name? Do you know?
Taggart.
It's Taggart. Okay. Wow. Why they got to be so mean to him? That's a tough name to have, Taggart.
I mean, you know, it's like a boy named Sue in that whole family. Willard, Taggart, Sue.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Okay. We'll go with it. You know, Matt, Josh, Ben, and Craig did okay. Nothing wrong with those names. Not that there's anything wrong with the name Tag. It's just, I mean, I just hear it, you know. Well, they called me Mitt, so our firstborn is going to have his own set of problems. And they made sure of that. Taking a swing at the president. I want to take a swing at the president. Now, let's stop and think about that for a moment. An enterprising journalist decided to go back into the Wayback Machine and defined a time when a presidential candidate's children or any child criticized a sitting president of the United States in such a disrespectful manner. Imagine this. They didn't find one. Not one. Nope, not even Amy Carter. Seriously, they didn't find a single candidate's child that has ever openly criticized or been hostile towards a sitting president. So the Romneys continue a series of firsts, including Tag Romney wanting to take a swing at the president. Maybe Tag didn't get the memo, but his dad is a liar, and it's been proven. They fact-checked stuff, Tag. And at what, I mean, I, you know, yeah, it'd be tougher, you know, if you know, somebody called your dad a liar and you don't think he is one, but if the evidence is out there,
The way you answer that question is more, I don't know, politically correct. You can say, not that I'm big into political correctness, but you could have said, well, you know, listen, nobody likes to hear that kind of stuff, but hey, it's just the way the game is played. So we'll play the game that way, you know, whatever it is. You know, we know the truth. That's always the good spin. We know the truth. Well, so do we. It happens to be the same truth. You just don't want to admit to it. I'll be interested to see after this election, when Barack Obama is reelected and the Romney people or, you know, somebody on his staff writes that tell-all book about the campaign, which I will buy, by the way. That's a book I would buy. We're gonna find out how dysfunctional this campaign was because of the privileged class mentality of the Romney family. Don't for a moment think that those five young men that I mentioned just a few minutes ago haven't lived a very privileged life, because they have. Now, I'm not suggesting that they're lazy. I'm not suggesting that they were born with silver spoons in their mouths. I'm not suggesting anything but the fact that they grew up in a very privileged situation, although Ann Romney did tell us some months back that, you know, they had a tough time of it, too. I'm guessing it's like maybe there was a time where she can only get her nails done twice a week instead of 5 days a week, but that would probably be about as tough as things got for this Romney clan. Whatever, tag, you're it. Take that for what it's worth. All right, 888-552-3595. The name is just something else. Candy Crowley, who was the moderator at the debate on Tuesday night, took a little bit of heat for, quote-unquote, having the president's back. She shouldn't have said anything, but God forbid, why would we want to fact-check a debate, I don't know, during the actual debate? You know, why would we want the truth to get out? Well, the Republicans had a field day with this yesterday. Everything from, it was a broad statement on terror to, she had no business saying anything. Well, Candy Crowley decided that she should speak up. She sat down with her own colleague at CNN, Soledad O'Brien, and had this to say about Tuesday night's debate.
Paul Ryan, who's been making the rounds on the morning show, says, well, she's already backtracked. He's talking about you. She's already backtracked from that statement, as you probably already know. She basically said that she was wrong in the wrong in that assertion that Mitt Romney is right in what he said. And no, look, nobody believed at the Rose Garden speech that the president was suggesting that that particular attack was an act of terror. Are you backtracking of what you said in that fact check last night?
Goodness, I hope they get back to one another. Listen, what I said on that stage is the same thing I said to you actually last night.
Year, so I know what you said.
Which is that, and what I was trying to do, by the way, it was, oh, you fact-checked him. I was trying to move this along because we were, the question was Benghazi. There is no question that the administration is quite vulnerable on this topic, that they did take weeks ago. Well, actually, there really wasn't a protest and actually didn't have anything to do with the take. That took a long time. That's where he was going. That was his first answer. That was Romney's. And then we got hung on about this. Yes, he said, no, I didn't. I said terror. You didn't say terror. And there was this point where they both kind of looked at me, you know. And then, you know, Romney was looking at me. The president was looking at me. And what I wanted to do was move this along. Could we get back to these? So I said, he did say acts of terror, call it an act of terror. But Governor Romney, you are perfectly right that it took weeks for them to get past
two
the tape
of
and the
word. Right. Terror, people on one side applaud. On then you the said, yes, it took 2 weeks. People on the other side applaud.
So
not a backtrack?
No, I mean, the question was, we got so stuck on that act of terror. It took him. Now, did the president say this was an act of terror? The president did not say. He said acts of terror. But he was in the Rose Garden to talk about Benghazi's.
Yes, so he was in the Rose Garden talking about Benghazi, and he called it an act of terror, which would make it an act of terror, right? Anything about that I'm getting wrong? I understand the nuances of language. Truly, I do. I've been a media trainer for many, many years. I teach this stuff. I mean, I truly do. I've taught this stuff to thousands of potential media guests. Yeah, pretty much the president's got himself covered on this one. And Candy Crowley didn't let that go completely unnoticed when she said, of course, Governor, you're right as well. It did take them a couple weeks before they moved on from the story of it being about that auspicious movie. But, you know, that's okay. Let's not look at the entire piece of audio as we just did. Let's not talk the truth because it's just terribly inconvenient. I have really learned to despise in a truly reprehensible way Reince Priebus, who is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, who is so disconnected from reality. He always was. And I worry so much for traditional Republicans, those that were around in the 80s and maybe even early 90s, although there was always been extremes in both parties, they were much more reasonable. This crop, not so much. This crop, really not so much, very reasonable. And so you look at the, you know, Michael Steele was a disaster as RNC chairman. Reince Priebus is a disaster as the RNC chairman. And then the party itself being controlled by the Tea Party is a disaster as well. When you have a minority of your members controlling the majority of your language, it's a problem. Don't fear what you don't know. I'll leave it there. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up on this hour on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. More to come when we come back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Governor Romney took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. And he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally.
It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, welcome back. Susan Demas and Chris Rodriguez coming up in the next hour. Look forward to that as we work our way through another week. And what a quick week this has been. They're all just flying by as we get ever closer to that illustrious November 6th date that we have romantically talked so much about for so long now. How crazy is it that it's right on top of us as we inch ever closer to the general election? So much at stake. I had a lady, I told you this, a lady called me in my office, wanted some help with the proposals, and she had said to me at the time, well, there are eight, and I said, no, there are six proposals. Well, in the city of Detroit, there are 18 questions. So that's where she got that number 18 from, because I was a little confused. Although I did save myself because I said, now, in every community, there may be issues that I wouldn't necessarily be aware of. These are just the statewide referendum issues, which is exactly what had happened. There are 18 questions on the city of Detroit ballot. Talk about voter fatigue. I can understand why they're a little concerned by that. Anyway, let's turn to the phones and welcome our friend Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Good morning, Tom. Nice to chat with you once again.
And to you as well, and good morning to the listening audience. You know, Tony, in terms of, you know, the, I guess, the zinger that Romney thought he was shooting at the president about, you know, him saying 14 days later, took the president to come out and say that it was a terrorist attack. I mean, come on, let's get real. In the Rose Garden, I mean, whether you say it's a terrorist attack or an act of terror, if you put it in the box just like with the numbers, it's all the same thing. Okay,
yep.
It's an act of terror or it's a terrorist act, you know, plain and simple. I mean, I don't understand, you know, what people don't understand about that. I mean, it's like it just befuddles me. But to me, what they're doing is they're majoring in minors and they're trying to pick and do anything just like Romney to, you know, to make sure that President Obama does not have a second term. And what? I mean, this thing here. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, you know, Tom, this whole idea that you nuance words, that, well, he didn't say it exactly this way, so it didn't mean
right.
That, you know, it's really just sleight of hand. And the crazy thing is, it makes the Romney campaign once again look bad. And
yeah,
let's remember why he looked bad. He looked bad because he wasn't prepared for the truth. The look on his face, Tom, when Candy Crowley said, no, sir, the president did say it was an act of terror, the look on his face was like, how dare you?
Yeah. And, you know, and you can tell that this man has no respect for women. The way that he came out, same thing with Jim Lehrer, and tried to, you know, take over and, you know, have the rules by Romney to those debates. And, I mean, she put him in check, and she put him in check quick. And, you know, and then just the plain, passionate disrespect that he has for the president, okay? Well, you know, he's going to sit there and talk about, well, no, you'll have your chance later. That wasn't a comment. That was a statement. I mean, come on. Let's go ahead and get real here. I mean, you know, it's just...
again, it's part of the privileged class mentality that the whole Romney family has. They've got this privileged class mentality. Everybody's their servant, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard some guy put it well last night. He was saying, like, it was CEO talk. It's like, you know, I'm the one in charge. I'm the boss, and I don't want to hear from you.
Oh, I think we clearly, Tom, after the first two debates, we clearly see what kind of boss Mitt Romney was.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the man's a boss. The president is not a boss. The president is the president of the United States, and he's got other people to work with. And, I mean, you know, you just can't go in there and run roughshod over anybody. And when you don't get your way, jump up and down and scream like some kid and that's going to take his bat and ball and go home.
Yeah, well.
And, I mean, that's exactly how Romney is.
No question, Tom. Thanks for the call. In fact, let's go to Rachel Maddow. She talked about the binders. You know, Tom had said that Mitt Romney showed disrespect for women. Let's talk about let's listen to what they say about the binders full of women. This is what she said with guest Shannon O'Brien on MSNBC.
I went to a number of women's groups and said, "Can you help us find folks?" And they brought us whole binders full of women,
which was very uncomfortable. Joining us now for the interview is Shannon O'Brien. She ran against Mitt Romney in the 2002 Massachusetts governor's race. That was a race, of course, which Mr. Romney won. Shannon O'Brien, thank you for joining us tonight. It's nice to have you back.
Thanks, Rachel.
That O2 campaign is at the heart of today's debunking, if you will, of the binders thing. Can you explain to us what was going on in 2002 at that time that Governor Romney was talking about last night?
Well, it was fascinating for me to listen to that story. I call it another one of Mitt's Massachusetts myths, and he's made himself the shining knight. The fact is there was a group, MassGAP, which is the Government Appointments Project, put together by a number of bipartisan women's groups. At the time, there were approximately, 30% of women in high-ranking positions in that administration. And this group got together and demanded, frankly, of me and of Mitt Romney that we make a pledge, that we pledge to bring more women into, whether it was my or his administrations. We actually signed, I think he did too, signed the pledge. So when he goes and says that he was out finding all these women, the fact is the women beat on our doors and said, take these binders. So at least the binders, I think, was truthful.
But the binders, so you're saying, just so I can get this right, it's not that Mitt Romney realized that all of his cabinet not potential appointees, as he mentioned last night, were too male in terms of the pool, and he sent people back to go find binders full of women in order to change the gender makeup of the people he was considering for his cabinet. You're saying that you guys were both offered these binders before you were ever in a position of appointing anybody?
I'm saying I'm sure that the thing that was delivered to him may well have been in a Staples binder. But the fact is, these groups had discussions with both candidates well before he got sworn in January. And so these people were putting together resumes and women who had the right credentials to serve in some of these high-ranking positions. So the real absurdity is that he said he looked around and that he personally went out and met with groups to go and find these women as if this was some affirmative good act on his part for him standing up for women. It just really is not that truthful.
All right, it's not that truthful. Again, that's another way of saying it's a lie. He does have no real respect for women. This idea that they went out and got binders full of women, which we now know wasn't true. All you have to do is Google this. It's all out there, folks. Very legitimate news sources have done the fact-checking on this, and what we definitively know is that Mitt Romney did not voluntarily go out and recruit women for his cabinet. He just didn't do it. He didn't do what he represented that he said he did on before that election or right after that election. That's not what he did. All right, let's take a break for the top of the hour. Susan Dimas, Chris Rodriguez in the next hour. Of course, you're always welcome. Send an email, make a call. But we do need to take a break for the top of the hour. NBC News coming up at the top. We'll take the break and be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Still watching those two problems on your early morning commute. That accident that has your right lane blocked on 96 eastbound just after the Davidson. And that jackknife tractor trailer that's blocking one lane. Traffic is also getting by in one lane. That's on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Godfredson. And the Southfield Freeway northbound, the ramps to 94 east and west are closed until 9 p.m. tonight. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW Dearborn, Detroit.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. It could have been a disastrous deposit. The FBI foiling a plot to blow up the New York headquarters of the Fed. NBC's Jonathan Dean says a 21-year-old Bangladeshi is in custody.
Kwasi Mohammed Nafis, his alleged target, the Federal Reserve Bank, trying to kill hundreds of innocent New Yorkers during the morning rush.
Turns out the bomb Nafis tried to detonate was a fake provided by undercover FBI agents. President Obama and Mitt Romney will cool the campaign hostilities tonight and trade one-liners instead as the candidates attend a white tie gala in New York. Stormy in the south overnight as high winds and torrential rains caused widespread damage reported across Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And a little less pain at the pump. Gas prices are still high, $3.74 a gallon for regular, but AAA says they're down 5 cents over the past week. This is NBC News Radio. Have you taken your vitamins? A new study rates the ABCs of daily supplements, showing multivitamins cut the risk of developing cancer by 8%. NBC's Robert Bazell.
A lot of studies have found that high doses of individual vitamins do not reduce cancer risk. But this latest research shows that a multivitamin with recommended daily doses can actually help protect against cancer.
The Boy Scouts of America preparing for a bombshell with the expected release of confidential files identifying over 1,000 leaders and volunteers who were banned after being accused of sexual or other inappropriate conduct with boys. Striking workers in Greece aim to bring the country to a standstill today as anti-austerity protests continue. And Flamin' Hot Cheetos are flaming out in Rockford, Illinois. The school district has stopped selling the bright orange-red snack, while schools in New Mexico and California are looking to ban the snacks that are full of artificial colors, calories, fat, and salt. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. Switching to Geico, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss. No irate, vengeful, significant others.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
If I need new tires for my Ford, where should I go?
Your Ford dealership.
And who's having a big tire event?
Your Ford dealership.
Buy four select tires, get a $60 mail-in rebate. That's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
You're basically going to say your Ford dealership no matter what I say, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice shoes. Where'd you get those?
Your Ford dealership.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/12.
Superman will keep fighting for truth, justice, and the Warner Brothers way. A judge in Los Angeles has ruled that Warner Brothers will keep all rights to the Man of Steel following a challenge by the family of Superman co-creator Joe Shuster for half the rights. Through movies, TV, and advertising, Superman has made Warner more than $500 million, and a new movie is coming out next summer. This month, we've seen two retailers, Best Buy and Target, get aggressive against internet competition, offering price match guarantees. But experts tell the Wall Street Journal it may work only for the Internet. They think many shoppers simply may buy items on the net rather than go through the hassle of proving prices to get the match in the store. So far, stock futures are not matching market moves overseas. Asian and European indexes higher today. But right now, S&P futures are down a point. NASDAQ futures losing two. Dow futures off six. In early trades, oil futures down a dime to $92 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat. The keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move one ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11-10-12.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October 18th, 2012. You have punched in the First Shift. We thank you for being here as we work our way through another glorious day here in the wonderful city of Detroit and throughout Southeast Michigan and beyond through the iHeart application and our online live feed of this radio program. As always, a pleasure to be with you. We've got a great hour of radio lined up for you, so just do whatever you do this early morning, whether you're driving to work, getting ready, having a cup of coffee or a bowl of cereal, whatever you've got in front of you. Enjoy what we're going to bring you, including our next guest who joins us every week at this time. Let's go ahead and get an introduction and get this thing going.
If you have been looking for real journalism as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Dimas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Dimas.
All right, and we do welcome Susan Dimas back on this Thursday morning. Susan, is always a pleasure to have you on the show. God knows we've got plenty to talk about this morning, especially as some recent polling has come out, but we'll get to that in a moment. Let me first just welcome you back and say good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Maybe getting just a little tired, Susan. I've had quite an active extracurricular schedule these days, and it's nice to be popular, but it'll be good for me when November 6th is behind us and I can perhaps stay home one or two evenings a week.
I totally understand.
Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do. Well, listen, since we're here, we're only literally a little over 24 hours removed from the last debate on Tuesday evening. Let me ask your depression, your interpression. I thought maybe that was a Freudian slip there. I don't know. Let me ask your impression of the debate Tuesday night between President Barack Obama and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that Democrats should be a lot less depressed this time around. I think the general consensus of most of the pundits and all of the polls was that the president won this round. He looked about 180 degrees from what he was 2 weeks ago. He was pretty strong and forceful and seemed to make a good case.
He did make a good case, and you know, one of the interesting things before I watched this a little differently. I didn't watch it at the time. I watched it in the morning, so I got up a little earlier than I normally do, which is already god awful early. But what I do is I go read the fact check first. So that's what I do. I go read the fact check, and then I actually watch the debate. The president actually fared reasonably well in the fact check department with this debate. So having that knowledge going in, knowing what they were calling Mitt Romney out for, you kind of watch it a little differently that way, of course. And I watched the whole thing, and it was clear that Barack Obama certainly had great command of the topics, knew what he wanted to do. All of this, he can only do this with a teleprompter. We can throw that out the window. He didn't have one, and he was quite eloquent, actually, from time to time.
Yeah, I thought he, you know, definitely seemed to relieve Democrats with his performance. His answers were very crisp. He seemed to connect pretty well with the audience members who were asking questions. I thought it was interesting that you brought up the fact check, because that seems to be the element of the debate that has gotten talked about the most, when the moderator, Candy Crowley, actually fact-checked Mitt Romney in real time. As a journalist, I really like to see that, because, you know, a lot of my job is fact-checking. If my entire job were fact-checking, I would never get any sleep. but a disturbing development in my eyes was the huge pushback from Romney supporters that she would dare do that and then try and disparage, you know, what she said and try and disprove it, even though it's really pretty black and white. When we can't fact check as journalists, when that makes us biased, that's when I really start to worry.
Oh, and I think that's a legitimate concern, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, interestingly, I don't know if you've ever seen the television show The Newsroom. It's on HBO.
Yeah.
I don't watch it in real time because of my crazy schedule. I watch these. Well, it just so happened that the night before the debate, I watched the episode. It was the second from last episode this season where they were trying out a new debate format. I don't know if you remember that episode, Susan.
I do.
All right. Well, it was just so. For me, it was interesting. I didn't know that that's what that episode was about. They talked, and that was really about fact-checking as they go, right? So
right.
Then that happens that night. It just so happens to be that I watched it that night, and then it happens that night during the debate. And I'm thinking, what's the big deal? If it's the truth, it's the truth. So you're very right. When the truth becomes something that becomes this polarizing, horrible, you know, thing that we're going to crucify her for, when all she was doing, and the worst part is, she actually had Mitt Romney's back on that, too, because she turned in that same breath, said, but Governor, you're right as well. Why did they forget the rest of the sentence, Susan?
Well, because it doesn't fit into their complaint. I mean, you know, we in the media, we get a lot of criticism, and some of it is justified. I think we are too sensationalistic. I think we do too much horse race coverage. But we get a lot of allegations of bias. And we get them from both sides, but frankly, it's much more vociferous on the right. And they're much often ruder about it, to be honest. And, you know, this kind of fits in with that, because moderators are apparently not supposed to be journalists at the same time, as long as they're pointing out things that are not good for the Republican candidate in any way. And that's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. It's always funny because everybody wants a journalist to write on whatever it is they're doing until they actually do it. You know, you could be writing about a kindergarten play and you're going to get a complaint as a journalist that you spelled the last name wrong, or you forgot an E, or you didn't mention my kid enough. You know, it doesn't matter what a journalist writes about. They take criticism. They do. They take criticism nonstop. So you've got to have pretty thick skin. Candy Crowley, and we played some audio earlier, she was on with Soledad O'Brien yesterday, and she basically, you know, said what you and I have been saying. Listen, I knew the answer. I had to get them back on track because they were both careening off the cliff.
Right.
So I did that. That's all I did.
Yeah. And, you know, frankly, for the first half of the debate, I felt like she was not in control. She was getting ruled by both candidates, particularly by Mitt Romney. And, you know, she took control of the debate in the second half, and that was one of the ways that she did it. And I think that Mitt Romney supporters need to stop crying about it.
Well, you would think the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus, was just an absolute bull in a china shop in the media yesterday. And why anybody puts a microphone in front of that guy is beyond me anymore.
Well, frankly, you know, I think that the right oftentimes tries to bully the media. And I am not one who really responds well to threats. That's at least my personal philosophy.
You know, I'm gonna believe that, Susan. I'm gonna absolutely believe that. There were two glaring moments that I want to quickly mention. One of them we just talked about, which was Libya. Mitt Romney looked like he had gotten punched in the stomach when that happened. And the other one was the binders full of women comment that has now gone viral. And it has gone viral. There's no question Mitt Romney's got some splaining to do. Because as we have now found out, he did not go out and seek out those binders full of women. They came to him during the campaign and asked him to sign a pledge that said that he would be open to candidates for upper-level cabinet posts if indeed he were to be elected. Again, he's lying.
Yeah, with Libya, I have to say I was surprised because Republicans have been baying on this issue. There are unanswered questions. This would seem to have been an issue he would have won pretty easily. But he didn't really have command of the facts, as we saw. And President Obama actually was, I think it was his strongest moment of the debate when he said, I just find it offensive that you would say that about members of my team. You know, that was a pretty big leadership moment for him. On the binders of women, I thought that was one of several kind of odd phrasings from Mitt because he wasn't quite on his game. He said at the beginning of the debate, you know, I said take Detroit bankrupt, and that was a weird phrasing. So the binders of women, I thought it was weird, but it didn't trip me as much until, you know, I was reading Twitter and everybody was going crazy and I saw the Tumblr, which was pretty amusing. The story itself, I agree, is very interesting and telling, and his record at Bain is not very good in terms of hiring women or minorities either.
No, it's not. We need to take a quick break here. Lots to get to when we come back. We're going to take a look at some polling, both nationally and statewide. We're also going to talk a bit about Proposal 2. Susan Demas, my guest, a journalist with the Mirrors News Service based out of Lansing, and, of course, she writes for MLive.com and many other publications around the country. Everybody stay right where they're at. We will return with Susan Demas right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Mitt Romney released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, and they've cleared that accident on 96 eastbound just after the Davidson. But heading over to Northwestern southbound at 12 Mile Road, we have an accident there. Now, we're still working on that problem on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Goffredson. We got a jackknife tractor trailer blocking one lane, and traffic is getting by in one lane only. A tow truck is on the scene. And we have a broken water main with two-way traffic maintained in the westbound lanes. That's on 5 Mile Road eastbound just before Sheldon.
That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Become informed, learn the truth, stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Susan Dean is my guest, journalist extraordinaire. Before we go to the phone, Susan, very quickly, this third debate Monday night is on foreign policy. I'm going to guess that Mitt Romney, it's not his strong suit, as we know. I'm going to guess he's probably wishing they would have done this one maybe first or second, because I think it's going to be a tough day for him with regard to getting through that 90 minutes.
Well, you know, Mitt Romney is intelligent. He has advisors. I'm sure he'll be fine. It's not his strong suit. I don't think that he wishes this one were first because he did very well in the
first. Well, that's true. You make a good point there.
But, you know, he'll have a better answer in Libya, I'm sure. Republicans have never really been able to answer for the killing of Osama bin Laden other than saying, boy, you shouldn't brag about it. That's just wrong. So it will be interesting.
Yep, it will. Let's go to the phones and welcome Mike and Clausen. Mike, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Good morning to you both. I was just wondering if either of you are aware of the Facebook notice that Mitt Romney was in a conference call, had encouraged employers to threaten layoffs if Obama wins.
Well, actually, what happened, Mike, and thank you for your call, with the audio, which I listened to this morning, was he, with the National Federation of Independent Business, Susan, if you didn't see it or hear it,
on a conference call, he encouraged employers to encourage their employees to vote for him, which he goes on to say is not illegal. But he also does include in that soundbite, you know, if you feel like President Obama's your guy, well, then go ahead and vote for him. I listened to it. I didn't find it offensive in any way, but that's just me.
Yeah, I read a write-up of it, and, I think it's questionable for any employer to encourage their workers to vote for anybody. I agree that it's not illegal. It's certainly not something I'd ever want to encounter in the workplace, personally.
No, it was invasive in that way, but again, I don't even know if it's unethical for a candidate to... Well, first of all candidates ask for votes, but is it appropriate? I don't know. Is it appropriate to say, hey, employers, encourage your employees to vote for me? Maybe not appropriate. But at the same time, it's one of those gray areas. And once I listened to the audio, it was really quite lame, to be honest with you. It wasn't a gotcha moment. In my opinion, it wasn't a gotcha moment, which is why we're not airing it today. Another caller, Keith in Detroit, joins us now. Keith, thanks for punching in. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Good morning. Good morning. I was wondering, you think Romney might try to squeeze in his supposedly displeasure that Israel and the United States had with each other? They're having a big joint exercise coming up very soon between the two militaries. And I don't know, like in Israel, they have so many different political parties, just like who party, particularly now, is more in line with Republicans, and that needs to be brought out, I think, because it's just not a Netanyahu talking for the entire country.
Right. Well, Keith, thank you for the call. Susan, you know, Mitt Romney has been very critical of the way Barack Obama has been treating, if you will, Israel. I think he's painting it a little more dramatically than it actually is, but I wouldn't be surprised if he brings it up.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. It's very interesting to me how worked up we get about the issue of Israel. I mean, in reality, there's very little daylight on the issue of Israel between Democrats and Republicans. Everybody favors a strong relationship with the country for the most part. Yes, Netanyahu is a conservative figure. He's someone who is pushing for a war with Iran. That does not seem to be something the president wants. I think Romney seems to like that idea. That is a difference. But in terms of our support for Israel, that's been very steadfast for decades, and it's a very bipartisan effort.
Well, you know, and I want to be mindful that we are literally in war fatigue in this country. I don't know that the American people, even conservatives, are anxious to go to war again for any reason. Not that there wouldn't be a legitimate reason to go. But, you know, Susan, I do believe as a country we're fatigued. We need a break.
I agree. And I think Joe Biden made the case in the vice presidential debate that, you know, these guys are looking for another war. That's what you're going to get. And I have a feeling that the president is going to make that case, because I don't think there would be support for any kind of action unless we were attacked.
I would agree with that. Very quickly, because we're going to run out of time here. The national polling, the daily polling today, is showing Mitt Romney nationally up 6 points over the president. State-by-state polling, president still doing well where he's supposed to, still leading, although by smaller margins in swing states, with the exception of maybe North Carolina right now. So I'm not too concerned about the daily national polling. But the local, statewide polling, as I know you know, because Mears reported this yesterday, afternoon in their daily briefing to me and to many, many others, that the Dunno research shows that Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are in a dead heat here in the state of Michigan. Susan, if I'm reading you right, you're not buying it.
No, I'm not. And neither is the Romney campaign. Otherwise, they would be spending millions of dollars personally, and we'd be seeing Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, and we're not. So, this race is not a dead heat. If you're going to believe a poll in Michigan, believe the Detroit News poll done by Glenn Gariff Group. They're very reputable. They had it at 7. I'd say it's between 4 and 8. It's not the 14-point lead we saw a few weeks ago. Nationally, the numbers are a mixed bag. You're citing the Gallup poll, which actually is a blend of data for the last week, which is a very good one for Romney. It, of course, doesn't include any data after the second debate. We'll see what the numbers turn into. Everybody is expecting a tight race, and so am I.
Yeah, and as am I. We always knew that it was going to be tight, and we always knew that it's going to be about the swing states. And let's be honest about it, Susan Demas, we always knew Michigan would not be a swing state. In fact, I got a call from a pollster on Thursday last week. And, of course, they couldn't, when they asked me if I worked for a radio station, I said, yes, they couldn't use me as a polling sample, which was fine. I get that a lot. I don't lie about that. I don't want to participate just to participate. But I was talking to this woman that had called and asked her, you know, what kind of response she was getting. I was a little surprised that she was answering my questions, to be honest with you. But, you know, she was telling me that the Democrats are far more optimistic than they were a couple weeks ago, just in general, which was actually pretty good to hear, because you and I just talked last week about, you know, the overall pessimism that liberals and progressives seem to have doesn't matter how well they're doing.
Yeah, and most of the people have already voted, and regardless of who they voted for, a strong majority, I think about 20%, thinks Obama is going to win in the end. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, well, we're out of time, so we're not going to get to Proposal 2 today, but I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week, Susan Demas. As always, I value the time that you give us. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Susan Demas with the Mirror's News Service out of Lansing and MLive.com. A quick break here. When we come back, Chris Rodriguez joins us on a very important topic. You'll want to stay tuned. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, and they've cleared that accident on 96 eastbound just after the Davidson. But heading over to Northwestern southbound at 12 Mile Road, we have an accident there. Now, we're still working on that problem on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Goffredson. We have that jackknife tractor trailer blocking one lane, and traffic is getting by in one lane only. A tow truck is on the scene. And we have a broken water main with two-way traffic maintained in the westbound lanes. That's on 5 Mile Road eastbound just before Sheldon. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The day after the presidential debate, six former Sensata workers and their supporters were arrested as they occupied the lobby of the Bain Capital-owned company. Mitt Romney's Bain Capital is sending their jobs to China. The workers are calling on Romney to stop the outsourcing of their jobs by the company that made Romney wealthy. They have set up a tent city called Bainport in Freeport, Illinois, to protest the loss of their jobs to China, thanks to Romney's Bain Capital. The workers tried to deliver a petition to the plant manager. Tom Gallrap is one of the Sensata workers who will lose his job when Bain Capital ships his job to China the day after the election. Speaking in a video the workers produced, Gallrap urged voters not to vote for a Romney economy.
How anybody can go and vote for Mitt Romney is beyond me, because we have seen what this Romney economy looks like here.
Romney's binders full of women remark once again reveals a Romney disconnect and a problem with the truth. Jesse Russell reports.
Of everything Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney said on Tuesday, it was binders full of women that seems to be having the greatest impact, and not necessarily in a good way. Lilly Ledbetter, who gave her name to the equal pay legislation signed into law by President Barack Obama in 2009, said needing a binder full of women to find suitable women for administrative positions showed a disconnect.
That binder didn't help me at Goodyear, and it's not helping the women across this country, making 77 cents for every dollar a man gets. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but over the course of a woman's lifetime, for the same work as men, women make on average $431,000 less than men. $400,000 could buy a house, put two kids through college, and pay for seven more years of groceries.
The other problem Romney is facing is that he didn't actually request the binders full of women. The resumes of suggested women were offered to him by a group called Mass Gap, which had planned to provide the materials to whichever candidate won the gubernatorial election. Jesse Mermel is the former executive director of Mass Gap.
Mass Gap approached the campaigns of candidates Shannon O'Brien and Mitt Romney and asked them both to commit to three things. One, to make best efforts to ensure that the number of women in appointed state positions is proportionate to the population of women in Massachusetts. Two, to select a transition team whose composition is proportionate to the women in the Commonwealth. And three, to meet with MassGap representatives regularly during the appointments process. Both campaigns made a commitment to this process.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning. As many of you know, I care very deeply about not only registering to vote, but voter integrity. I care about access to the polls and anything that has to do with anything that has to do with the election. And so it comes as no surprise to me. In fact, I'm a little disgusted by the fact that if you are somebody with a disability, the polling place that you go to, especially in the city of Detroit, may not be able to accommodate you. Not only is that a violation of law, state law, it's a violation of federal law, and it is certainly offensive to all of us that believe every single American is created equal in spite of whatever difficulties you might personally have and no matter what disabilities you may be affected by. Well, let's turn to somebody that can have this discussion in a much more intelligent manner than I can. Chris Rodriguez joins us now. Chris currently serves as the Director of Governmental Affairs and Media Relations at Michigan Protection and Advocacy Services. He handles and oversees all aspects of public policy, both state and federal, and the agency's outreach and media relations. Chris has experience working in Washington, D.C. with United Cerebral Palsy and the National Association of Councils for Developmental Disabilities, in addition as serving as the director of the chapter services for the ARC of Texas. Anybody who is familiar with ARC in Detroit or Michigan knows what a big advocacy group they are here and how critical they are. And I welcome to First Shift this morning, Chris Rodriguez. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely, Tony. I really appreciate you giving some attention to this particular issue. We've been working on it for a long, long time, and are really disappointed in the way that Detroit has handled a lot of the things that we've brought to their attention.
Can we agree with my assessment as I open this up that voting is a right for all of us? And if somebody needs a little more attention in making sure that the integrity of their vote counts, that we need to go at that length?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think the federal government through the Help America Vote Act has basically laid that out, saying that this is absolutely a right that's given to people regardless of their situation, regardless of their disability. Through that, they have provided funds that you can apply to as a polling location to make sure that your location is accessible. We are very sympathetic to the situation in Detroit in the sense of, you know, we understand the fiscal circumstances there, we understand the economic circumstances there, but this isn't a situation in which when we find these non-compliant locations that they can't apply for federal funds. And I think that's one of the more disappointing aspects of this whole situation, is that we found that they've showed very little interest in applying for those funds.
Oh, that's disgusting. I'm not going to soft pedal this interview, Chris. I find that reprehensible and disgusting. I think it's unfair, it's illegal, it's unlawful, and it needs to be addressed. And if they need to be fined, then they need to be fined. And we need to bring light to this issue because everybody. I go out and speak on the issue of voter integrity everywhere I go, Chris, and I say the one thing we all have in common is that constitutional right to our one vote. Well, that's not true. I've been lying.
I couldn't agree more, Tony. This is a situation, like I said, that we've been following for quite some time. And, you know, the way to go about things, and we do this across the state, so I don't want to act like I'm trying to pick on Detroit here. We do this across the entire state. And unfortunately, you know, the last circumstance that we want to go down is the road of litigation. We've tried to work with the clerk's office, you know, in other cities that we've found similar situations. We've helped them, you know, apply for grants. We've helped them make suggestions to make things more accessible to their voters. And, you know, unfortunately, we're just not getting a lot of traction in Detroit. And this isn't something that we're just bringing up now. We've been going to these polling locations for the better part of, you know, two or three years now. So it's just very disappointing. And like I said, litigation in all circumstances, trying to make systemic change, is kind of a last resort. But unfortunately, at this point, you know, we are definitely exercising, you know, all options to see how to remedy this as soon as possible.
Well, let me ask if you have turned your attention to Janice Winfrey, the city clerk in Detroit, and asked her for her help in making these 200 locations throughout the polling locations throughout the city accessible.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's, you know, it is certainly her responsibility, along with, you know, the Secretary of State's office and a few other individuals, to fix these issues. And we've done everything possible to have an open line of communication with their office to try and remedy this, you know, as soon as possible. And unfortunately, we're just not getting a lot of feedback from them. In fact, you know, we went out the day of the primary down to Detroit, my colleague and I, and did our own assessments. Unfortunately, we weren't able to hit all 200 polling locations in Detroit. We hit around 70. Of those 70, we concluded that around 62, 63 of those locations were inaccessible and non-compliant with federal regulations. We went back, we wrote a letter to the city of Detroit, we wrote a letter specifically to Janice Winfrey, you know, outlining these issues that we've had. We sent them photos, we've documented all this. They've responded in the sense of two responses, one of which stated that they've done their own assessments and they've found that they have around 6 to 7 locations that are non-compliant. That is clearly, you know, a huge disparity between what we found and what they found. Even if that was accurate, which we believe it is not, one is too many. The other conversation that we've had informally and indirectly is an article that was released last week by CNN where they had a chance to speak with her, and she claimed that 100% of their locations were compliant. This is just, you know, I don't understand what their guidelines is. The federal government lays it out fairly specifically. And we just can't comprehend how this is going on or how they're not even willing to acknowledge the situation.
Well, as much as I respect your not wanting to litigate, and I do respect, I truly do. It's expensive. It doesn't get us closer to the goal. Normally, it actually gets us further away from the goal. And even if you win, then there's the whole follow-up routine. And I could go on and on, Chris Rodriguez. I'm not going to do that. My point is, they're lying. I'm going to say it. You don't have to. They're lying. There's no way. You would not just. And you sent me some pictures. I have them. I posted one of them to the website. You've got crumbling stairs that lead up to a door that you have to turn to get into. There's no way that that is disability accessible. Period. Period. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Now, I realize that's one picture, one location. But why would you lie about this, especially since you've got the photographic proof that it exists?
That's an excellent question, Tony, and that's something that we're trying to get to the bottom at, frankly. Like I said, we've you know, extended this notice. We've let them, you know, understand what our stance is. We've asked for a formal response, and, of course, we've asked that these things be taken care of by the general election, of which time we're going to go back out and take a look at those places again and then see where we move from there.
Well, I'll point out once again, Chris, I want to reiterate something you said just about 5 minutes ago, that there are actually federal dollars available for these polling places. So it's just a matter of, listen, I know what a pain in the butt it is to fill out a grant application, et cetera, et cetera. But the point of having HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, was to make places more accessible, to make the process more transparent, to make it easier for people to exercise their constitutional right to vote. So it's not even that they can claim poverty on this issue. That's the part that confuses the bejesus out of me.
Absolutely. And you know, these regulations fall in line with Americans with Disability Act, something that was passed over 20 years ago. you know, and we're still dealing, unfortunately, with these particular situations. And I understand a big argument is, you know, we hear a lot of people say, hey, listen, why not just have these individuals do absentee votes? And I understand that argument. I get it. I think it is a, you know, not a concession, but I think it is an opportunity. If you feel more comfortable doing that, then that's fine. But that is no way should relinquish the responsibility of these different polling locations to provide accessible polling locations.
In fact, it would be the worst possible reason to use. Well, okay, so we didn't fix the stairs or we don't have a ramp, but we're happy to send them an absentee ballot. What about people like me that enjoy going to the polls?
Absolutely. I can't tell you about so many experiences that I've heard about, you know, the first time people go to vote, to exercise that particular privilege. And, you know, it's just a great, great privilege. It's something that you're doing. You're standing up for your rights. You're doing your civic duty. And to tell somebody that, oh, listen, you know, you're provided the opportunity to do absentee, so we are going to relinquish our responsibility. That's just blatantly unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. So what can we do, Chris Rodriguez? We're going to have to take a break here in a minute, so I'm hoping you can stay with us. But what can we do to change this? Can we put individual pressure on different city clerks if we see a particular polling place in our district that we obviously know is not compliant? Can we report that to you? What do we do?
Absolutely, Tony. I'm glad you asked that question. I think the first part of that is getting the word out there, letting these individuals know that are being disenfranchised that we, you know, we're looking out for your best interest and we have an avenue to fix this. Secondly, I would say that anybody out there that's having problems at the polls that feels like they're being discriminated based on their disability should give us a call. We want to hear about this. You know, we want to understand these situations. That way we can put a face to the name. I know you're no stranger to advocacy, so you understand there's only so much we can do as professionals. We want to put that personal story on the things that we're fighting for.
What's the number that we use to call you? Is it the toll-free number I have here?
It is. It is. You can also, locally, it's 517-487-1755, or the toll-free is 1-800-288-5923, and you can speak directly to me, Chris Rodriguez.
All right. Well, we're going to get that stuff up on the website. We're going to get that stuff up on the Facebook page, and I will keep this information handy, so if anybody calls me, as you often do throughout the day in my office, I will have that information for you. This is not an issue that we should let go in any way, shape, or form. Chris Rodriguez, stay where you're at. We do have to get to a break, so let's do that, and then we'll come back and take a call from Theo. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. I've got a couple email in already. And on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. This is a big, big, big deal. And it needs to be effectively dealt with. Corrected, more importantly. Not dealt with, corrected. It needs to be corrected. Let's come back and talk more with Chris Rodriguez, again, the Director of Governmental Affairs and Media Relations for the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Service out of Lansing. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break here. We'll be back with the callers and everything else we need to do before we get done in this hour. Stay with us.
With Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce.
And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. My guest once again, Chris Rodriguez, Director of Governmental Affairs and Media Relations for the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Service out of Lansing. We do have a caller, so let's also go to the phones and welcome Theo in Detroit. Theo, welcome back to First Shift. You're on the air with Chris Rodriguez.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Happy Thursday to you. My first question is, wait, let me say, I have no objection to a lawsuit against the clerk for not following the HAVA law. But the question that I have is, do you plan to file this lawsuit and stop the election November the 6th?
No, I don't know where you got that impression, Theo, but we'll let Chris answer it. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Chris.
Absolutely. We're not trying to stop the election in any way possible. What we want to do if we decide to go down the road of litigation is to ensure in the future, in future elections, that all polling locations, not only in the city of Detroit, but in the state of Michigan, are accessible to people with disabilities.
Yeah, let's make sure that we're absolutely crystal clear on this. As Chris said just a few moments ago, this is not a city of Detroit issue only. There are other polling places throughout the state that have the same issues.
So exactly.
And so I want to make sure that we're very clear. Listen, you know, if for someone that doesn't have a disability, somebody that doesn't know somebody with a disability, they may think we're making much ado about nothing. But I want to talk for a moment about being disenfranchised. Chris Rodriguez, when I think about people with disabilities, I often wonder, you know, how many days that they go without being disenfranchised, how many times they are discriminated against, all of the stigma that often comes with a disability by a misunderstanding public. To add insult to injury, one of the many rights that we all have as Americans is that right to vote. When you're disenfranchised there as well, the wound gets deeper is my point. It doesn't heal if you continue to disenfranchise people with disabilities.
Sonny, you're absolutely right. Let me tell you a story that we heard when we went around on the day of the primary. Unfortunately, you know, we have people going to vote, and this literally happened, wherein an individual's in a wheelchair. There's steps leading into the voting location, which they can certainly not navigate. A situation in which they have to get people to actually lift this individual up so that they can have the privilege to vote. Do you know how demeaning that is? Oh, you know, just, it's just awful. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. These are the kind of things that happen to people with disabilities and make them think, you know what, I don't ever want to go back there. I feel so, you know, awful in the sense of I've been discriminated against, put through this, you know, dehumanizing situation in which they decide not to vote. you know, and these are the situations that we're seeing time and time again. And I also want to point out the fact that, you know, we're seeing similar issues all over the state, but we've decided to hone in currently on Detroit because we found that the most egregious circumstances and the largest numbers of these circumstances are coming out of the city of Detroit.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, in some of the photos that you shared with me, Chris, not only are these places not accessible for the disabled, they're barely safe for people that are abled.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it goes back to the fact that we talked about earlier. There are federal funds to fix these situations. You know, we take other clerks, other cities, other municipalities through the process of filling these grants out. We're doing everything that we possibly can to help these places become more accessible for the people that we represent, and we're just not seeing a lot of interest out of the individuals in the city of Detroit that are responsible for these things.
Now, this is also first-class discrimination by any definition of discrimination beyond being disenfranchised. Again, if you guys wanted to be the bull in the china shop, you could be throwing out lawsuits left and right. This is something I see the ACLU wanting to jump all over. And I would bet, Chris, that at some level, you know, you've kind of got to do, okay, everybody, calm down. Let's try to get them to work with us first. So you're not ruling out litigation if it comes to that, but you're trying to do this in a reasonable fashion before it has to get to that point. Is that the way I understand it?
I think you said it great. You know, like I said previously, litigation is a time-consuming, expensive endeavor, and it's one of the last resorts. However, you know, a lot of times that's what it comes to. We had a similar circumstance in Flint a couple years back to where we had nearly an identical situation in the sense that we've tried to work with the clerk's office, the mayor's office, the city council, and was to no avail. So we basically alerted, gave the attention to the Department of Justice, who then came in and filed the lawsuit. And basically, I believe they just settled recently to make sure that these places are accessible. Now, that took a lot of time, a lot of money, and it was unfortunate. But, you know, if we have to go down that road again, or if we have to, you know, look at other means of litigation, you know, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. And I hope the clerk understands that.
Well, let me, again, give out some information. First of all, the website for MPAS is www.mpas.org. Again, all this will be up on Facebook, www.mpas.org. You can also find them on Facebook. Just search for MPAS. The phone number, toll-free, 800-288-5923. That's toll-free, 800-288-5923. Locally, in the 517 area code, 517-487-1755. You can ask for Chris Rodriguez personally. I have a feeling that he's anxious to take calls if you have them to make. When I was approached with this topic, and I want to thank Tony Trovato, who is the group manager here at Clear Channel, for passing this along to me. You know, my immediate response, as you know, it was fairly immediate when I got it. My producer Joe reached out to you right away. To me, this is one of those hidden issues that should be out in plain sight. This is something that you and I need to talk about after the election as well. We don't let this go.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. Elections aren't going anywhere. Polling locations aren't going anywhere. The right to vote shouldn't be going anywhere. So this is going to be a reoccurring issue if it's not addressed.
People, I want you to stop and think for a moment about all of the difficulties disabled folks have to go through on a daily basis to add insult to injury, to continue to disenfranchise and discriminate against people in something that I fight so hard for, which is registering to vote and then making sure that you actually do the act of voting, only to show up at a place and have to literally sit outside the building because you can't get in. There's absolutely no, this is such a nonpartisan issue. It needs to be corrected. I want everyone, Chris Rodriguez, that wants to vote to have the ability to do that in any fashion they want to do that.
I think I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. I agree. I think that, you know, it's individual rights. It's, you know, everybody else can do this. And like I said previously, because we have had articles up and there have been individuals that say, you know, why should we be going down this route? What's wrong with absentee ballots? And, you know, I can't say it clearly enough. The experience of going down to your polls is a great one. The experience in which you're participating in your civic duty is amazing. And to say, oh, we have, you know, an alternative and that should basically let the responsibilities off the hook for people, for the clerks, is, you know, it's not right.
It is not right. Chris, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Listen, stay in touch. Let me know what's going on with this. We're here to help you.
Absolutely, Tony. I really appreciate it.
All right. We're going to get all that information posted to the Facebook page and to the website, but we've got to take a break here. David Hecker coming up on the other side. Stay with us, please. NBC News coming up next.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we still have that problem on Northwestern Highway southbound at 12 Mile Road. It's blocking your right two lanes. And it's also causing a problem on 12 Mile Road eastbound at Northwestern, where that's temporarily blocked due to that accident. Still got that problem on M14 eastbound between Ford Road and Goffredson due to that jackknife tractor trailer blocking one lane, and traffic is getting by in one lane also. Tow truck is on the scene there. We got a new accident on 94 westbound at Chelsea Manchester Road, and we have that broken water main. Traffic is getting by on the westbound lanes only on 5 Mile Road eastbound just before Sheldon. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Michalczewski. President Obama and Mitt Romney continue their combative debate on the campaign trail with less than 3 weeks to Election Day. NBC's Peter Alexander.
The latest flashpoint between the two men, women, the nation's largest demographic, with recent polls showing a narrowing gap between the two. Both sides trying to cast the other as an economic threat.
More sponsors are dumping Lance Armstrong as evidence of blood doping piles up against him. The cycling champ losing Nike, Anheuser-Busch, and Trek following last week's report detailing widespread cheating. The Boy Scouts preparing for a bombshell with the release of confidential files identifying more than 1,000 leaders and volunteers banned after being accused of sexual or inappropriate conduct. And that annual trip to the doctor may not be all that it's cracked up to be. A new study shows unless you have a chronic condition, yearly tests often do nothing to improve your health or peace of mind. This is NBC News Radio. The FBI has foiled a plot to blow up the New York headquarters of the Federal Reserve. NBC's Jonathan Deans says the suspect was on a mission to, as he put it, destroy America.
Quasi Mohammed Rizwanul Hassan Nafis, a 21-year-old from Bangladesh, entered the United States in January on a student visa. But authorities say his real purpose for coming was violent jihad.
Turns out the bomb Nafis tried to detonate was a fake provided by undercover FBI agents. Those gas pains are easing. AAA says we're paying an average $3.74 for regulars, still high, but down 7 cents from a week ago. Even California prices moderating now. Cheapest gas? The Gulf Coast at $3.45. And the American household is getting crowded. A new survey finds nearly a third of homeowners expect their grown children or aging parents to eventually move in with them, as the number of Americans living in multi-generational households swells to its highest level since the 1950s. I'm Jim Michalczewski, NBC News Radio.
Only the Home Depot has the innovative new Delta Prelude toilet for only $129. It's not only very affordable, it's also WaterSense certified, using less water every month while making hardly a ripple in your water bill. Save money without scrimping on performance with the innovative, affordable, and very efficient Delta Prelude toilet, only $129. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Only, see store for details.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. You into Jared.
That's Jared.
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores could bring you a Pandora collection like this.
It can only be Jared.
Visit Jared now through October 31st and receive a free Pandora pink leather bracelet with your Pandora purchase of $85. See store for details.
On your way to your New Year's Eve festivities this year, you might want to swing by a newsstand and pick up a copy of Newsweek magazine. That will be the last one. Owner of the Daily Beast reveals Newsweek will go all digital in the new year. The online publication to be called Newsweek Global, a single worldwide edition. Newsweek's readership and advertising have grown online, while the dead tree version has suffered revenue losses. Increased business from the iPhone has helped Verizon's earnings increase, but that's about all Verizon appears willing to say on the matter. Defying expectations, Verizon has chosen not to reveal how many iPhone 5 models rolled out last month were bought by Verizon subscribers. Earnings up 14%, matching expectations. Also with results, Morgan Stanley reporting it swung to a $1 billion loss from a year-ago profit. Southwest Airlines swung to a profit from a year-ago loss. S&P futures down 3, same with Dow futures. NASDAQ futures off 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat. The keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move one ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You can win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11/10/12.
Staples. 2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, the 18th day of October 2012. We've got a great next 2 hours. Of course, it's Labor Day Thursday. David Hecker and Chris Mihalakis both will be with us as we work our way through the rest of the morning. We're going to spend a lot of time today talking about Proposal 2, but from a lot of different perspectives. And I think it's a conversation we need to continue to have. If you were listening to the show earlier today, we played actually a fairly good representation of what Proposal 2 is about from WDIV. I was very pleased with the way they presented the issue. And what they did was, instead of saying we're going to take this side or this side, they actually read the actual language in the proposal, which reaffirmed everything we've talked about on this show. It's about democracy in the workplace. It's about enshrining the right of collective bargaining, period. That's what it's about. So Anyway, why don't we go ahead and get going? If I can have an introduction, guys, we'll get this thing started.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
What these private for-profits do, they push and push and push students to take out these loans, to get the education, and they're pushing people and pushing people. Just take out the loan, you'll get this education. And sometimes the education doesn't provide what the student needs, and the student walks out with a major debt, and the college is happy because the college made a profit.
In with Tony is President David Hecker.
And joining me now is President of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, Mr. David Hecker himself. David, it's always a pleasure to have you.
It's great to be here, Tony. Thank you.
What are you chuckling about? It's too early to be chuckling. I haven't said anything funny yet.
In the way you sort of introduced me. But it's great. Okay. It's great to be here. Fantastic. I always love hearing that promo.
Yeah.
And it's great to be on.
Well, we appreciate you being here. I don't, in fact, we could also actually play the audio, but I think I'll do that a little bit later on. WDIV did a really fair representation of Proposal 2. One of the concerns, David, that I've had is the other side, if you will, has a lot more money than we do. I say we because I'm a proponent of Proposal 2. And there have been a lot of lying. There's been a lot of lying going on. And it's difficult because, you know, your first reaction is, well, my first reaction is, you know, to scream. But that doesn't solve any problems. So we need to continue to educate and talk about the reality of what Proposal 2 is. So I was pleased with what WDIV did because they literally just read the language and said people should decide for themselves. Why can't everybody be that fair?
First of all, there are probably some psychologists who would probably say screaming when you're angry probably does help.
Okay.
Thank you.
I feel better
then. Just put that aside. You know, it's not the other, you know, the one as despicable as the ads are calling people who work in education, you know, either sexual predators, drunks, protectors of sexual predators, as despicable. And, you know, it shows to what length, how deep in the gutter the opposition will go. And I said this yesterday. There was a big union meeting yesterday at the IBW about Prop 2. And I said this to the people there. And in a sense, we should all take it as a compliment that they're running those ads, because they're running those ads because they know if they talk about collective bargaining and what this ballot proposal actually says and what collective bargaining has meant to this state and this country and lifting all boats, the bad guys know, well, they can't possibly win that argument. And so it's really a tribute to everything that people involved in any aspect of collective bargaining have done that the opposition is in the gutter with these insults, these lies, these fabrications. But so obviously their polling data obviously shows if they talk the truth, there's no way they win. So they're doing this.
Okay. Well, and we do have to, and the ads have been great. The pro Prop 2 ads have been wonderful. The firemen, the teachers, the one argument I've actually been having with some of my listeners that claim to be pro-union but anti-public sector unions, and, you know, I'm going to actually ask you to help me work through that today. I think anybody should have the right to unionize because it's protected by federal law. So I get a little concerned when people talk that way. Well, you know, I don't have a problem with unions, but I don't think teachers, people that work for the government should be in a union. They shouldn't be able to hold the government hostage at any point, and, you know, and I sometimes I struggle with that.
And it's, you know, it's also part of the discussion you'll hear from some people. Oh, there was a time when unions were needed, but they're not really needed.
Well,
you know, times in the sweatshop they were needed, but they're not really needed now. You know, what people, you know, a couple of things. People just tend to somehow forget that there is yet to be a labor agreement that is just signed by management. Just signed by labor. It is also signed by management, right? So people tend to forget that. And also, you know, it's, again, just getting to the going back to being insulted, not myself personally, but for our membership and all educators and all public sector workers, really. The, you know, people have devoted their career to teaching, to working in state government to make sure, you know, people get the kind of assistance they deserve, that people get unemployment insurance, doing all the important work, you know, make sure we have police, fire, running cities, et cetera. That's what they've devoted their careers to. And to think that their goal is to bring down the city or bring down the school, or bring down the community college or the university, through some outrageous demands is just, it's just ridiculous. You know, it's, collective bargaining, as you know, is a process for labor and management to sit down at the table together, work through problems. Of course, we're going to have differences of opinions on things, but it's the process to work things out. And again, I have yet, you know, if other unions have been able to pull this off, please tell me. But I have yet to be able to negotiate a contract with just what we want in the contract, and just my signature makes it a contract. The other guy's got to sign it also.
How much fun would that be?
That would probably be a lot of fun.
You know, and I want to go, certainly in concert with something you were just saying, let's talk about what we bargain over. It's not, you know, of course it's wages, but let's set that aside for just a moment. We especially as it relates to teachers, we bargain over class size. We bargain over resources. We bargain over budgets and how that money will be allocated. Certainly the administrator of a building is going to have different priorities than perhaps a teacher in a building. And I get that. That's fine. But that's the whole point of a negotiation, mm-hmm. David. You're not unreasonable. If a building administrator comes to you and says, we must replace the boiler in this building, we have to do it this year, it's dangerous. In fact, they're going to tag it. They're not going to let us use it. We've got to spend $150,000. We didn't. You understand that reality.
Absolutely. Back in the day when the state was not bankrupting public education and school districts actually had a fund balance in there, you know, oftentimes they had far too much money in that fund balance back in the day. But I would always say they need a fund balance. You know, if I had a local that said, you know, they have X in the fund balance, they could just spend all of it on the new contract. No, they can't spend all of it on the new contract. I mean, you know, the things are going to come up. Everyone needs a rainy day fund.
Absolutely.
AFT Michigan has a rainy day fund in case who knows what happens. Every organization needs that. And if a boiler breaks down, please spend the money and fix that boiler. We all understand that because we all want the school district, the city, the county, the university to operate and be excellent and do a great job for the people it serves. And, what it comes down to a lot is, you know, isn't, yeah, it comes down to money and benefits, especially now. But it also comes down a lot is that, you know, people on the administrative side oftentimes don't like to sort of share their power in a sense. A lot of them don't want to sit down with the employees represented through their unions and figure out together how we improve the school district, how we improve the city operation, how we improve the county. We all know unions of and from all walks of life, public and private, have offered upteen number of ideas about how their employers could do better jobs as employers in producing what they produce, public or private sector. And so many times the employer doesn't want to hear our ideas. Or if the idea comes from us, sometimes I think if a union walked in with the cure for cancer, some managements would say, we don't want to hear about it. Because it just comes from us.
No, I think that's legitimate.
And I think that's why collective bargaining is so important, because the best way to figure out how to solve a problem, how to move an organization forward, is to do it in a collaborative way. But sometimes management doesn't thinks they know the answer, and that's a major problem. You know, we're talking about Proposal 2, but Proposal 1. Right? One person has all the power to make all the decisions with no accountability whatsoever.
And the legitimacy of that, of course, is manifested most perfectly in the Detroit school system. But we'll have to come back and have that discussion. David Hecker, my guest, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888 888- 952-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break here and be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
With Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your very busy rush hour commute, let's head over to 75 southbound just after 12 mile, where accident has your right shoulder blocked with stop-and-go traffic from Big Beaver. On M14 westbound just before US 23, we got an overturned vehicle in the medium, and that's causing very slow traffic in both directions. On Northwestern Highway southbound at 12 miles, still have that accident that has your right two lanes blocked, and that's also blocking 12 mile road eastbound at Northwestern. Still got that broken water main on 5 mile road eastbound just before Sheldon, and the two-way traffic is maintained in the westbound lanes. 94 westbound at Chelsea-Manchester Road, accident has your shoulder blocked, and US 23 southbound just after North Territorial Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. It's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
I'm all for proposal 2 because I feel like collective bargaining is very important to the freedoms of the people of Michigan. I've been in the union now 35 years and it's helped protect our jobs. With proposition 2, it helps maintain that, and the more union members there are in other companies, the better the contracts are going to be. I am all for proposal 2. My name is James R. Message. I work at Kroger's in Warren, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on proposal 2.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. David Hecker in with me, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. I found I was looking for some new photos for the website yesterday. I found a photo of you and Randy Weingarten knocking doors. I don't know where it was at, David, but it was a great picture.
It was in Northwest Detroit. It is when our national convention was here. And as you know, on Saturday afternoon after session, about 600 of our delegates from around the country went out and knocked on doors. We were in Prop 2 technically then, but knocked on doors for Prop 2. It was an unbelievable effort. You know, Randy said, you have a major issue on the ballot on collective bargaining. We're going to have a lot of people in town. You know, speeches and resolutions are nice and very important, but we're going to get boots on the ground. And about 600 delegates from around the country went out and knocked on those doors. So
what kind of response did you get from the privilege of
going out with Randy?
What kind of response did you get from the delegates that did that? Because I'm not sure they do that everywhere, to be honest with you.
First of all, when the AFT has a national convention, we always try to incorporate into it, hey, we have thousands of trade unionists in this town, whatever town the convention's in. What's going on that we could, what local is going on, local issue that we could plug people into? People loved it. You know, we always have a very nice reception at a convention, at a local place, and we had a beautiful reception at the fantastic DIA after that. So buses picked people up at Cobo when the convention ended. We ended a little bit early so we could do the walk. Took them out to where they were going to walk and in Metro Detroit, not just the city, and then bused them to DIA. So what I did with a couple of our staff is every bus that I didn't get to see the murals again, because every bus that pulled up, I greeted the bus with members, with our staff, and thanked everybody for doing it.
Which is important.
And then we gave them a letter, and we gave them an AFT Michigan pin and said they were an honorary member, you know, a nice little token thank you. But people would get off, I'd shake their hand, I'd thank them, and they would thank me. They would thank me for the, and by thanking me, they were really, you know, thanking the AFT, Randy, but I was the one there, for the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, think about who goes to a union convention. The activists, the leaders, the people want to do it. And, you know, speeches are nice, great debates, and we have tremendous debates at AFT conventions. You know, you were there this year.
Yeah, I got to witness
it. Great, but these people are activists. They want to get out there. They appreciated the opportunity to get out there and really, in a real hands-on way, help us in Michigan. And it was, I'm amazed. I'm there thanking people for what they did for us, and they're thanking me for the opportunity for them to help us.
That's
right.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about, there's a lot of support now coming in for Proposal 2. John Austin, who is the president of the Michigan, is it Michigan Board of Education?
State Board of Education.
And the Michigan PTA has also come out in support. John wrote a glowing op-ed in the Detroit News just a couple days ago, which he's been on the show. He's obviously a partner with you in many ways, David. They care a great deal about public education in this state. It was nice to get that endorsement.
It was fantastic. I'll tell you, every Democrat on the State Board of Education supports Proposal 2. John's the chair. And it was great as chair, for him to write. It was, you know, a point counterpoint with, Richard Studley, expressing his point of view, which as you might expect was not in support of Proposal 2. And, John did a tremendous job just, you know, laying out the basic arguments. But even, you know, as well written as it was, the most important thing is that it was John Austin. Here is the chair of the State Board of Ed, the Michigan State Board of Education. No one, some people probably do, but no one really has a right to question his commitment to public education, his commitment to let's figure out what we need to do to advance public education, his commitment to the kids. And I'll tell you, it's not, you know, I know John for years, he's fantastic. Do we agree on almost everything? Yeah, do we agree on everything involving education? No. We've had our, you know, differences on should we be doing this, should we be doing that, is this good, is this not good. Neither of us would ever question each other's commitment to it. It's just a different thinking of strategy. I just raised it to say it's not like, oh, John, this is what AFT thinks, this is what MEA thinks, that's where you, that's not the case at all. That's what we come to because of the kind of, what he thinks, and he knows what's right and what's needed. But, he just wrote this great, and that article, and that the president, again, of the State Board of Education says, this is what's best for public education. This is what's best for the kids we educate. This is what's, fair for the men and women who educate our children. Just goes a long, 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 long way.
Not that you're going to disagree with what I'm about to say, but I've had John on the show on a half a dozen different issues, and he is, even if it's politically unsafe for him to walk down a path, he's the first one not only walking down the path, but he's setting up little flares all the way so people can see where he's walking. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said, which I think gives it that much more credibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the other, you know, in addition to John Austin, which is great, is the Michigan Parent Teacher Association. As you know, most of us probably don't think of that name. We know it is the PTA. But the Michigan PTA has endorsed Proposal 2.
They've been very good to the show as well.
And, you know, I had the opportunity with Gretchen Jodisch, the great executive director of the Michigan Education Association, to meet with some members of their board. Gretchen and I had a conference call with their board, just talking them through. They asked a whole bunch of great, great questions. This is, you know, it's a big decision. It isn't something the PTA does every day.
Right.
Make a position on something like this. I may note they also came out against Proposal 5, which is great that they did that. And they said, listen, you know, the PTA is all about kids. That's priority 1 through infinity. That's why we exist. And we've examined Proposal 2. We examined what it provides for. We took a look at what the opposition has said, and we support Proposal 2. And I think, you know, they could put up all the lies and fabrications they want, the bad guys, about, you know, as we said before, Proposal 2 will have criminals in the schools and drunks in the schools and sexual predators in the schools. The Michigan PTA says Proposal 2 is good for our kids. I think people say, hey, wait a minute, you know, the bad guys are full of it.
Because no, there's reason for pause.
Michigan PTA has tremendous respect.
Let's take
community.
A quick break. We'll pick it up on the other side. And a little more I want to talk to you. Shayton Berry, by the way, is just an amazing person.
He is fantastic.
In fact, last time I had her on, I said, we're having you on so much, people are beginning to talk. She's great. I love her. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with David Hecker right after we do this. Stay with us, please.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your very busy rush hour commute, let's head over to 75 southbound just after 12 mile, where accident has your right shoulder blocked with stop-and-go traffic from Big Beaver. On M14 westbound just before US 23, we got an overturned vehicle in the medium, and that's causing very slow traffic in both directions. On Northwestern Highway southbound at 12 miles, still have that accident that has your right two lanes blocked. And it's also blocking 12 Mile Road eastbound at Northwestern. Still got that broken water main on 5 Mile Road eastbound just before Sheldon, and the two-way traffic is maintained in the westbound lanes. 94 westbound at Chelsea Manchester Road, accident has your shoulder blocked, and US 23 southbound just after North Territorial Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. And it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film. I don't believe in hell. In Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values, which we externalize into laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who ultimately uses violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Let us now assess the state of the free press in this land of, well, of press freedom. The assessment? Pathetic. Not because of some government clampdown, but because of increasing press pusillanimity. The latest decline in hard-nosed investigative reporting is something called, quote, approval. It began with PR flacks for public officials and political candidates, demanding that reporters agree as a price of being granted an interview to submit any quotes they intend to use from the interview to the interviewee's staff for approval. Thus, when Mr. Big blurts out something shocking, stupid, or actually newsworthy, Mr. Big's staff of bowdlerizers can tidy it up or even erase it. Zzzt, it's gone, as though it was never uttered. It's not surprising that today's media-sensitive political figures, including Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, would demand this extraordinary editorial control over what comes out of their own mouths. But it's utterly despicable that media bosses and reporters have so gutlessly caved in to the demand. It reduces reporters from hard-nosed diggers to brown-nosed beggars, and it makes a mockery of our democracy's need for a free press. Yet many of America's major publications have meekly surrendered their reporters' freedom to this restraint. And now, corporate executives have realized that, hey, we can emasculate the press, too. Wall Street barons, Silicon Valley hotshots, and even the bosses of media conglomerates are demanding and getting, quote, approval for stories about their operations. This is Jim Hightower saying, the media columnist for the New York Times admits that he's also succumbed to these demands. If it's a quote I feel I absolutely need, he recently wrote, I start negotiating. Never mind that is his independence and journalistic integrity he's bargaining away.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Tribbiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, David Hecker, my guest, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. The Michigan Parent Teacher Association endorsed Proposal 2 to protect collective bargaining here in the state of Michigan. We had briefly mentioned Shayton Berry before we had gone to break. She is their the Michigan PTA president. She's been on the show, I don't know, three, four, five times. Always great. As David, we were talking during the break, you know, I was very active with the PTA in my kids' elementary school, and very happy to do it. If, you know, I was actually thinking, if, people, legislators, I think anybody that touches education policy should be required to spend a week in a school with a teacher. I think that that would change. I really do believe that would fundamentally change the way they legislate education policy.
I think everybody should. I don't know how much it would fundamentally change education policy, because I don't think the making of education policy is necessarily based on what people really think is best for education.
Oh, what a sad statement that is.
I know, and what a, you know, it's so much is politically driven. We know that so much is, of it is done just to try to advance a political agenda. But I do think everybody should, and I do think it would have an impact because it would give people pause. I mean, they may want to do 1, 2, 3, which is not good for education because it advances a political agenda, and now maybe they'll only do 1 and 2, which would be a good accomplishment. But, you know, we didn't come up with this. We found it somewhere. But, you know, many times in a speech we've said, as others have said, those who can teach, those who can't teach, pass laws about teaching.
Yeah, well, there will be some truth to that.
You know, absolutely. People think they know. And they have no freaking idea.
The PTA does serve an important role. I'm a big advocate of parental involvement in the classroom in a big way. It started with us pre-kindergarten with my youngest son, where we were required to give so many hours a week to that classroom. We had to do it. Either my wife or I had to come in, and we did split up those duties. And we did that. I learned a lot about education. I learned a lot about the commitment that these teachers and aides make to these young people. And I think it was really a significant contributing factor to my son having a much better educational experience because he was very shy as a little guy, and it really brought him out of his shell a little bit. With that said, the PTA does serve an important function in the school, at least in many schools it does. And the importance of this endorsement, I believe, sends a message to parents everywhere that we are you. You know, the PTA is the parent.
Right.
You know, and it sends the message that we need to pay attention to what's going on. You're right. They don't do a lot of advocacy work, the PTA, with regard to policy or political issues. Nor do I think they need to do a lot of it. But when it's something important like this, when there are lies that are being told,
right,
don't tell me that the Michigan PTA didn't get calls and said, are there really predators in our schools?
Right.
Are these bus drivers, do they really have records?
Mm-hmm.
They got those calls.
Right.
They
I'm
needed
sure
to
they
say
did.
Something. They did, didn't they?
Right. I'd have to believe they did. And, yeah, no, they don't. It isn't like every 2 years they go through a list of all the issues and say, you know, what's going to be our position on this, and this. These are core issues, both 2 and 5. 5, as listeners know, is requiring a supermajority to deal with state revenue, to deal with taxes, and it would allow 13 state senators to control the state.
Yeah.
Because 13 state senators could stop a supermajority in the Senate, and then, you know, nothing would happen, and the state would be even in worse financial shape than we're in now. So that obviously directly impacts education. Proposal 2 directly impacts education. And so they obviously felt the need to get out there, make their statement on pro 2 against 5. And, you know, I can't tell you what is in each of the individual minds, obviously, of the wonderful people on the PTA board. But the ads that are being run, I would have to believe, they said, wait a minute. I'm sure they said, wait a minute. You know, we have to make a statement here. Because these are blatant lies. And just going back to the first one of the first things you said when we came back from break, you know, the more active, the stronger a PTA is, the more active a PTA is at a school, the better those kids are going to be. I mean, parental involvement is extremely, extremely important. And, you know, just let me use this opportunity to reach out to all your listeners, the overwhelming majority of whom are parents. And I'm sure the overwhelming majority of your listeners are involved with their kids' education, no question. But, there are many ways to get involved. But one extremely important way is, I know what you and your wife did when your kids were growing up. And that is to be involved in the institution of the PTA and to reach out to the Michigan PTA. And if you feel, you know, you could provide some assistance to our local PTA chapter, help us here, help us there, just to get involved and build up that institution of your local school PTA, because it makes makes all the difference in the world in your kids' education.
You know, if every parent gave a half an hour a week, they'd have to turn the help down.
That's right.
They would.
Right.
I mean, they literally would say,
right,
no, we don't know what to do with all this help. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem to have?
We have a now retired former president of the Hamtramck Federation of Teachers who's actually came out of retirement to work for us for a couple of months on during this political season. And when he was president, he said, you know, if everyone does a little, a lot gets done.
Well, that's
and
very
that's
true.
That's what it comes down to.
It is very true. Well, I'm going to now just take that one step further when we'll get it back on track. The entire time, the 6 or 7 years I was involved in PTA, I was the only dad ever.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
entire time. The only dad. So the dads that are out there right now, you have no clue what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
It was to this day, the field trips I went on,
mm-hmm.
being a lunch monitor, mm-hmm. whatever, you have no idea what you're missing out on. The joy that being in that school gives you.
Mm-hmm.
is incomparable. Beyond that, the relationships I built with the teachers, with the administrator in the building, with the secretary that really directs traffic, because the secretary in a school or an administrative assistant is the brain trust of that school. They know where everything goes. They know what every one of those cubbies goes to.
The traffic controller.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have no clue what you're missing, dads, by not getting mm-hmm. engaged. And if you don't really think you can take an hour a month, then you've really got your priorities screwed up. I'll get off my soapbox. I'm sorry, David. This is a big deal to me, and I don't regret a second of the time I volunteered to the PTA when I was involved. All right, very quickly, another top. Well, we'll get to the INS topic after the break because we're up against the break. Let's talk a little reality check. The polling shows that this proposal 2 is tied, and the balance is about 15% of undecided voters. How do we reach them?
We reach them through a variety of ways. Obviously, the media. The issue is we're being outspent at least 2-1. You know, there's an endless supply of money on the vote no side, an endless supply of money. So those ads are important. But what is essential is the field operation, and is a tremendous field operation. Knocking on tens of thousands, by the time this is over, hundreds of thousands, from around the state of doors, talking with voters. Because every experience I have is when we talk with a voter, and as you said earlier, and we talk with them about what this is really about. Because a lot of times when you're at a door now, they'll bring up the ads. And, oh, that's what it's about? Oh. You know, the law provides for this and that. It has nothing to do with collective bargaining as far as what the anti-ads go. Of course, there's no way in the world. You know, the first person who would want a criminal out of the school would be the teacher, would be the parent.
Yeah.
Right? No one at the door believes that a teacher would ever support a sexual predator in a school. Maybe here's the door and kick him in the butt and get him out. So that field campaign is essentially important. It's knocking on doors. It's also phone calling, and it's touching voters. We just have to have those conversations with people. And my guess is a whole lot of your listeners have volunteered for Protect Working Family Canvassers. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for continuing to do that. Those who haven't had the opportunity yet, please volunteer to canvass. If walking isn't your thing, there are phone banks.
Absolutely.
Please volunteer to phone bank. That the more voters we touch, the more people have information about this, the more likely they are to support it.
You know, your friend, colleague, and partner in truth, Chris Mialakis, said something last week mm-hmm. that has really resonated with me. And for those people that are saying, no, they actually showed a teacher's contract that said that they can be drunk 5 times. Mm-hmm. He made an excellent point, and it's very simple. There are laws against that kind right. of thing. So the point is real simple. You cannot collective bargain against a law.
That's right.
Period.
That's right.
So there's the truth.
Right.
You can't all of a sudden in your collective bargaining agreement say, yes, we're going to allow cocktail hour at the elementary school from 3 to 4 o'clock Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday afternoons. Folks, it's just ridiculous. All right, a quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. David Hecker, again, my guest. Stay with us, and we'll be back right after we take this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. David, there is something that is not Proposal 2 related that you wanted to bring to this audience's attention. We have done some work with AirMop on this show, and so I know what an important issue this is, but the INS agents have been doing something that I find reprehensible. Listen, if somebody's here illegally and that has to be dealt with, that I understand, but there should be a better way to do it than to go as they're dropping their child off at elementary school or middle school or high school and detaining parents in the parking lot while the children are watching this happen.
I don't know if Chris, who is does such great work on everything, but including immigration issues, we'll talk about it some later. Perhaps he was there yesterday as well. But ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement arm of INS, picked up parents who were taking their kids to Cesar Chavez Academy school. And there's rules on INS that you cannot basically use schools to entrap parents. And this isn't the first time that's happened here. It happened at Hope Academy prior. And it's just a despicable way to act. I mean, it's against the rules, but put that aside. Here are parents who love their kids and want their kids to get an education, and so you use that against the parents. And in, you know, in this case at Chavez Academy, they dealt with this in front of kids and outside the school, in front of other parents. And, you know, what it leads to in some cases is parents not having their kids go to school because they're afraid of getting entrapped. And, I was reading some articles and this makes sense. It leads to just in general, people in fear of detention on this issue, you know, not calling in the police on another issue. And, it's a complex issue. Everyone should have a path to citizenship. And that I, you know, we think should be, provided for everyone who's here. But to use schools and a parent's love of their child and wanting what's best for their child, as entrapment, again, is against the rules, but it's also just, a despicable way to act. And, you know, it isn't the first time it's happened here. You know, it should never happen. Happens once. It should never happen. That's wrong. Mistakes are made. But this isn't the first time it has happened here. There was a great, Ryan Bates and Alliance for Immigration Reform overnight pulled together a large crowd.
No, they're good at mobilization.
They're tremendous at mobilization. A large crowd, diverse crowd. Elected officials, obviously parents, teachers, unions, to protest this action. And it's just despicable. You know, people also just, you know, tend to forget that perhaps, we weren't all born here. Just perhaps, small chance that an extremely small percentage of American, the heritage of Americans come from America. And, people tend to forget that. I don't think there is a lot of people know this. I'll just make this very personal. I don't think there's a Jewish person alive in America. I hope there isn't, who doesn't know there was a boatload of Jews who were escaping the Holocaust, and President Roosevelt wouldn't let them in and turned them back, and they went to the gas chambers. And I think there's a story like that of people, either escaping persecution or just escaping unbelievable poverty and wanting a better life. And we've all had that in the histories of wherever we're from. And I think sometimes too many Americans forget that.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. I mean, David, that should mean something.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to be here and they've demonstrated, as so many of these parents, if not all of them, have demonstrated an ability to work, to pay taxes, as most of them do, to raise loving, caring children and communities that are protective of each other.
Mm-hmm.
To take the time to drop your child off at school every morning is a commitment. I don't think people understand that is a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to throw someone on a bus, to actually get in the car, drive them to school, pick them up every day. That's a commitment to your family. We're gonna penalize people that are like
that. That's right.
We don't want people like that in this country.
You said it was sort of, it's really not different than Prop 2 in the general sense, right? We were just talking about parental involvement.
Yeah.
Parental involvement in their kids, in their child's education. And here are people involved in their child's education. Let's use that against them.
Well, I have, I'm on AIRMOP's email list, and they often send out mobilization efforts for individuals. They've got a couple out there right now, an Albanian family, and whatever. It doesn't matter. But my point is the story. It's the story that matters. 22 years in this country, a gentleman gets pulled over that's a union plumber. And he technically isn't legal. And so he gets pulled over for having a light out, and they ask for a green card. He doesn't have one. They detain him and try to deport him. Is this really what this country is about?
Unfortunately, in some cases, that's what it appears like. But it certainly, as you quoted the inscription on the Statue of Liberty, that's not what we're supposed to be about. And again, I think people just need to think about, okay, when your family first came to this country, okay, which again is just about everybody, when your family first came to this country, everyone was, you know, welcome with open arms, and there was no issues, and et cetera, et cetera. And if everyone looks back into their heritage, they'll see that their families came here for a reason, the same reason people are coming to this country today. Yeah, things, you know, there are rules, and things have to be done through a system of immigration. But if someone's here, let's figure out the path to citizenship, and let's get them on that path if they're not already on it. And let's get this done, and let's treat people, regardless of where they were born, let's treat people the way everyone should.
And to reiterate what you so beautifully said, it's reprehensible to do this to school children in front of the kids.
Right.
It's just, I'm glad you brought this up today. Thank you. I appreciate that. We're out of time for today. I'm going to do a little quick math here. The next time we have you here is right before the election.
Right before the election.
Wow. Okay. Well, I know what you're doing in the next 2 weeks.
That and only that.
Yes, you got it. David, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
As
thank
always,
you,
appreciate
Tony.
It.
Thank you,
folks, we're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Chris Mialakis on the other side. Stay with us, please.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Your rush hour commute is still very busy. We're still watching an overturned vehicle in the medium on M14 westbound just before Main Street, and that's causing very slow traffic in both directions. We got a disabled vehicle on 75 southbound at Rochester Road, and that's causing slow traffic from Big Beaver. Also, 75 southbound at Kniff, accident has your left shoulder blocked. US 23 southbound after North Territorial Road, accident has your right shoulder blocked. And your right lane is blocked due to a water main break on 5 Mile Road eastbound just before Sheldon Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 58 with a chance of rain scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 54 with afternoon thunderstorms. And it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Troop.